overnight. He and Alonzo Walling met her at the train. That night plot unfolded, poor Pearl lost her life. Scott and Alonzo both hung for that crime.
Ghoulish greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of country legend Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from remote village to tropical paradise, from tiny mountain town to the cities that never sleep, from Santa Clara, California to Queens, New York, and everything in between and beyond, it is absolutely appreciated. Where will this week's special city shoutouts take us to? Maldonado, Uruguay. Salida, Colorado. Crofton, Maryland. Cushing, Oklahoma. Haltom City, Texas. And Hollywood, Florida. Now, a couple episodes back, you heard about executioner Franz Friedrich Karl Gropler. While I was working on that episode, Protzensi Prison kept popping up, as many of the executions, if not all, took place there. Now, thousands have drew their last breath at this prison, which to this day remains an active prison. So I looked into it, and I just start writing notes here and there about this particular prison and some of the executions. And after I was done, I looked at my notes and I was like, well, I'll be damned. I have enough for an episode. Why not? That happens from time to time, you know, when I'm working on something and something else kind of pokes his head out and I'm like, okay, cool, join us. So a lot of what you will be hearing dates back to the World War II days. So Protzensi Prison is located in Berlin and established in 1868, and around 3,000 people have been executed here. And that's just the executions. You know, with over 150 years of being open, and again, still open, I'm sure there is a huge number of natural deaths, maybe some suicides, perhaps some murders, and what have you, right? Now, oftentimes after an execution is conducted, or if an inmate passes away another type of way, I would imagine that the body would either be buried in the prison cemetery, or if they were lucky enough and their family wanted them, the body would be released to the family. But here, back then, and I'm talking back in the 40s, they would be given to a medical college in the area where they would slice and dice to their heart's content, which is rather disturbing if you ask me. I mean, at that point, after execution, this individual, they've paid their debt to society. I'm all about punishment, obviously, but at that point, it's like they did the crime, they did the time, they got the death penalty, so that sentence is served. At this point, let them just rest and deal with whatever demons and karma, whatever it is, to seek them out after death. Now, Plotzensi Prison is known, or was at least back in the day, as the House of Death. Now, these executions I am going to talk about were not conducted by our German executioner friend, Gropler. The first execution I'm going to talk about today is that of Paul Oskarzow. He was married and he had children, and it would later come out in court that he was rather abusive to his wife. Now, somehow, some way, in his head, he had it that his wife was cheating on him. Now, mind you, there was no evidence. He had no proof of this, and she denied it 100%, but it really didn't matter to him. He believed in it so full-heartedly that he would repeatedly attack her and abuse her because of this. It's kind of one of those things where if there's not proof and he's just thinking this, maybe he's the one who's cheating, and in his head he's thinking,
if I'm cheating, she's cheating.
Now, Paul, he was a serial killer and a serial rapist, and he was dubbed as the S-Bahn murderer. It is here on the S-Bahn rail that he would target women who would be traveling by themselves. He would murder at least 8 women, possibly more, but he has at least 8 confirmed kills. He was part of the Nazi party. Now, his first victim was a woman who was known to travel alone because at that time her husband was with the military and he was not at home at that time. He would murder another woman and throw her body off the moving train. And he would do this from time to time, dumping the bodies off from a moving train, so when their bodies would be found in one area, well, hello, the killer was far, far away at that point of discovery. One of his victims was a woman who was 5 months pregnant. Paul would be executed via the guillotine on July 26, 1941. And at the time of his execution, he was only 28 years old. All the executions I'm going to talk about today, with the exception of our serial killer I just talked about, they have one thing in common. They were executed for the sole reason of trying to assassinate Hitler. And many of these people held respectable positions in the military, like generals, lieutenants, colonels, majors, and officers, and so many others. Now, most of the people that I'm going to talk about were executed due to the failed assassination attempt known as the July 20th plot. And I'm going to quickly talk about that and what led to several executions. However, there are a couple of incidents that I will talk about that are completely separate, but still obviously led to their executions. Now, it's no shocker that Hitler was not a beloved figure for many people. He was no hero. He was no teddy bear. He, in fact, was a villain. And to this day, his name is pretty damn cringeworthy. Maurice Bavaud was executed via the guillotine in 1941. He had tried to assassinate Hitler in 1938. Now, he tried at least 2 times to take out Hitler. The first time he had actually talked with a police officer, basically just saying, "Hey, I'm a huge fan of Hitler's. I would love to really meet him someday." And the police officer believed him and said, "Well, he's actually going to be at this location." He goes over there, but Maurice, when he went there, he saw that there were just way too many spectators in the way giving the Nazi salute, and he wouldn't be able to just take out Hitler without hurting innocent people. And the second time, he thought Hitler was in one location when really he was in another, and when Maurice gets back to Munich, where Hitler was, it turns out that Hitler had just left to go somewhere else. So his plans are foiled. He is suspected, he is interrogated, and he does admit to his failed attempts, and he is executed for this. This other case of somebody being executed was pretty damn crazy. His name was Karl Robert Creighton. He was not part of a plot to assassinate Hitler, but he sadly was overheard making a negative remark about Hitler and is hanged for that remark. He had no plot, mission, dream, plan, or wish to kill Hitler. He literally just said a handful of words, and sadly, that was enough to seal his fate. You see, music was Karl Creighton's life. It was something that he was extremely passionate about. He was a pianist who was beloved in his community. He was good friends with some pretty known musicians and composers, all who tried to save him when he was arrested. His family, friends, fellow musicians, and the community tried to save his life, but it was no use. Karl Robert Creighton is executed September 7th of 1943, along with 185 other inmates. What they were executed for, I have no idea. For the words he spoke about Hitler, he was dubbed a traitor, and there was no saving this young man's life. Now get this, an appeal for clemency is approved. A day too late, though, is the day after his execution. The doomed man's mother would receive a bill from the prison, making the family have to pay for the time he spent in prison and even the rope that was used to end her son's life. The family would end up having to move because they themselves were not safe. Just very, very heartbreaking. So for those who haven't heard about the July 20th plot to assassinate Hitler, it was a large group of men that had attempted to take down this monster several times throughout 1943 and 1944, and each time they obviously would fail. Now, this wasn't some group of hoodlums, thugs, criminals. These were all people with impressive military backgrounds and careers. And in my research, these are some of the numbers that I found. And these aren't the full numbers, but this is what I saw. People who were executed included at least one admiral, two ambassadors, one architect, two captains, one chief, Berlin's chief of police, 11 colonels, the deputy mayor of Berlin, 7 diplomats, 3 field marshals, 17 generals, 1 journalist, 1 judge, 15 lawyers, 1 lieutenant, 5 lieutenant colonels, 1 lieutenant commander, 8 majors, 2 mayors who happen to be brothers, you'll hear more about them later, 1 minister of finance, 1 minister of the economy, 1 ministers of war, 3 priests, 1 teacher, and 2 trade unionists. Phew! And knowing the number of executions that took place, this is just a mere handful that I read. So, very partial indeed. On July 20th of 1944, a briefcase with explosives is brought into the Wolf's Lair, where a meeting is being conducted. The briefcase is placed next to Hitler. Now, an officer named Heinz Brandt, who was not part of the plot, he walks up to Hitler, and he wants a closer look at the map. And he looks down, and he notices this briefcase is in the way, so he moves it to get a better look at this map. Now, this will be a deadly move for him. This innocent moving of the briefcase sadly saves Hitler's life that day, unbeknownst to anybody at that moment. Now, several minutes after it's moved, it goes off. And while Hitler suffers minor injuries, Heinz Brandt, the man who moved the briefcase, is less fortunate. One of his legs is blown right off, and he dies the following day. 4 people in total were killed, but not the desired target, as we all know. Now, besides Brandt, the other people that died that day was the chief of the general staff of the OKL, Gunter Korten, Heinrich Berger, a stenographer, and Rudolf Schmundt, the chief of the army personnel office. Now, for the latter, death came agonizingly slow for him as he died a few months later due to complications from those injuries. Now, at least 20 people would be injured. 3 severely. July 20th plot failed miserably. Hitler, of course, would be dead less than a year later, and on his own damn terms, suicide. Wiki gives more of a detail about some of those numbers, and it's eerie. The plotters, unaware of their failure, then attempted a coup d'etat. A few hours after the blast, the conspiracy used Wehrmacht units to take control of several cities, including Berlin. Right after giving them disinformation on the intention of the orders they were given. This part of the coup d'etat attempt is referred to by the name Operation Valkyrie, which also has become associated with the entire event. Within hours, the Nazi regime had reasserted its control of Germany. A few members of the conspiracy, including Stauffenberg, were executed by a firing squad the same night. And the months after the coup d'etat attempt, the Gestapo arrested more than 7,000 people, 4,980 of whom were executed. Roughly 200 conspirators were executed. Unquote. Wow. So these executions that you're going to hear about now regarding the July 20th plot, Operation Valkyrie, just a mere handful, as you won't be hearing hundreds of them. Besides executions, there were a handful of suicides, as these men refused to give the names of their co-conspirators and feared torture of the Gestapo, and they had reason to have that fear installed deep within their souls. Now, Edward Wagner, he was a general, and during World War II, he was a quartermaster general. He refused to turn in any of his co-conspirators to the Gestapo, so he would commit suicide via a shot to the head 3 days after the Feld plot. Werner Schrader, he was a military officer, and he would take his own life 8 days after the Feld plot. In a letter, he penned this, "I will not go to prison. I will not let them torture me." Now, after his death, his family, consisting of his wife and son, they're arrested. Hans Ulrich von Oertzen, He was a major, and as the Gestapo was closing in on him, he killed himself by detonating two hand grenades. Henning von Treskow. He was a military officer, and upon hearing about the failed plot, he takes his own life. His final words would be this: "The whole world will vilify us now, but I am still totally convinced that we did the right thing. Hitler is the arch enemy not only of Germany, but of the world. When in few hours' time I go before God to account for what I have done and left undone, I know I will be able to justify what I did in the struggle against Hitler. God promised Abraham that he would not destroy Sodom, but if only 10 righteous men could be found in the city. And so I hope for our sake, God will not destroy Germany. No one among us can complain about dying, for whoever joined our ranks put on the shirt of Nessus. A man's moral worth is established only at the point where he is ready to give his life in defense of his convictions." Now, to protect the others that were involved, he would actually stage an attack that resulted in what would have looked like his death, like murder maybe. Ultimately, he detonates a grenade right below his chin, seconds after he had fired some shots from his gun. He is ceremoniously buried by his family. But once it was knowledge that he was part of Operation Valkyrie, the Nazis exhume his body, take it to the crematorium at a concentration camp. There will be no final, peaceful resting place for this man. Now, unlike the other men I just mentioned who took their lives before capture or interrogation, that was not the case with Kurt von Plettenberg. The cavalry officer was being interrogated by the Gestapo, and he damn well knew that he was going to be tortured if he didn't give the names of the other people that were involved in this. And he would most likely be executed even if he sang like a canary. So he decides to commit suicide by throwing himself out a third floor window. Why not beat the Gestapo and the executioner? On July 21st, 1944, the following day after the failed plot to take Hitler's life, Klaus Graf von Stauffenberg, a German army officer and a key conspirator of the plot, whose brother was also a key conspirator, who himself would be executed less than a month later, is executed by firing squad, along with three other people: his first aide, Lieutenant Werner von Haften, General Friedrich Ulbricht, and Colonel Albrecht Mertz von Quernheim. Stauffenberg would say,
"I am committing high treason with all means at my disposal."
Loyal to Stauffenberg to the very end, his first aide lieutenant, Haften, who was to be executed after Stauffenberg, throws his body like a sacrificial lamb in front of his friend, placing him between the firing squad and the doomed man, and literally takes a bullet for him. Now that's loyalty, my friends. Now before dying, Stauffenberg speaks these last words:
"Es lebe das heilige Deutschland,"
meaning long live sacred Germany. Stauffenberg, the mastermind, had a lot to be angry about. He was not happy with what was happening in Germany, what it was becoming. And during World War II, during the African campaign, something that I talked about a few weeks ago, reading my grandpa's own words, he was severely injured, losing two fingers on his left hand. He also lost his entire right hand and his left eye. August 8, 1944 would see at least four executions. Erich Kurt Richard Hoppner, who was a German general who had fought in both world wars and is executed for his part in the July 20th plot, in a rather horrific way. He was hung by wire-mounted meat hooks. Ouch. Friedrich Clausing was a captain in the military, and as a young man, just a teenager, he served as a member in the Hitler Youth. He escaped that night while most, if not all, the others were captured, but the very following day, he would turn himself into the Gestapo. He was sentenced to death and executed the very same day, August 8th. Helmuth Steif, who was a German general during World War II, and like Friedrich Clausing, he would be sentenced and hanged the very same day. Robert Bernardus was a German army officer, and like the two men before him, was sentenced to death and put to death the very same day. His family, upon his execution, was sent to concentration camps. And just 2 days after the quadruple, at least quadruple execution, on August 10th, 1944, one of the key conspirators of the July 20th plot, Berthold Alfred Schneck Graf von Stauffenberg, whose brother was executed a little over half a month earlier, is executed. He was an aristocrat and lawyer, and let's just be brutally honest here. Hitler, he was not a forgiving dude. It was his way or the highway, or a shallow grave, or a beheading, or a hanging, or whatever the hell you want to call it. And the Stauffenberg brothers had a huge role in this plot to take him out. While all these people would pay for their part, and boy would they. I mean, come on, the ultimate price, right? This particular execution had to be special. It had to differentiate itself from the others, and boy was it. He would not meet his end by firing squad like his brother, or hanging, or a guillotine. Nah, a rope, bullet, or blade would not do the trick. It had to be up close and super personal for Stauffenberg. He had to pay the price for his actions. He was executed via strangulation. Now, it was not a quick death. He'd be strangled to where he was near the brink of death. Then he'd be revived. Then it would happen all over again. Strangulation, almost death, revive. Strangulation, losing consciousness, revived. It was like a loop of death, if you will. His horrible execution was recorded on video, requested, or more like, demanded by Hitler, so he could watch this man's death whenever he damn well pleased.
This man tried to kill me. But joke's on him, as I get to sit here with my popcorn and watch him die over and over and over again.
August 15th of 1944 would see at least two executions. Hans Bernd von Hofften. That last name should sound pretty damn familiar. His brother was the first aid lieutenant who threw his body in front of Klaus Stauffenberg right before his execution. Hofften was a member of the German resistance and a jurist, and like his fellow July 20th plotters, he was sick and tired of how things were going in their homeland of Germany and saw Hitler as a major threat to not only their land, but to their people. This was his confession.
Legally speaking, it is treason. Actually, it is not. For I no longer feel an obligation of loyalty. I see in Hitler the preparation of evil in history.
He is sentenced to death and put to death by hanging that very same day. Wolf Heinrich Graf von Heldorf was a German police official and a member of the anti-Nazi resistance. He once supported the Nazi Party and was part of the Nazi Party. On August 15th, he is found guilty, sentenced, and put to death that very same day. Hitler was beyond offended that a former Nazi would take part in the assassination attempt. So much so that he forced Wolf to watch his fellow conspirators be executed by hanging before his very own death. Less than 2 weeks later, on August 26th of 1944, that day saw at least two executions. Ludwig Freiherr von Leonrad was a German army officer who was severely injured during the war on the Eastern Front early on during the war, and he was deemed unfit for front service. He was sentenced to death August 21st, and he would be hanged less than a week later on August 26th. Frederick Adam von Trautzusolz. He was a diplomat and a lawyer who had big plans if the plot was successful. If they succeeded taking out Hitler, he would then become the Secretary of State in the Foreign Office and the lead negotiator with the Western Allies. But no such luck. He is executed by hanging. His wife Clarita had been in jail for a few weeks at the time of his execution. why she was in jail. I have no clue. And their two children, who at this point had been living with grandma, was taken by the Gestapo, where they were adopted by Nazi party families. You would think that there would be no happy ending in sight for this particular family. But thankfully, after the war is over, Clarita is released from jail, where she is able to get her children back, and she would die at the tender age of 95 years old in Berlin in 2013. And just 4 days after the double execution, on August 30th of 1944, there would be at least one execution. Hans Otfried von Lienstau was a German army colonel. And unlike the others, he was not an original member of the plot. In fact, the entire time they had been planning this, for at least 2 years, and earlier attempts as well, he had no clue. It was not until the day of action, July 20th, that he would be approached and told that Berlin was lost and that they needed help. I mean, seriously, like they didn't have enough plotters in the hundreds, possibly thousands. He is sentenced to death and put to death the very same day, August 30th of 1944. September 4th of 1944 saw at least six executions. Hans Otto Ehrenmann was a German army officer and a part of the German resistance, and he was executed alongside his co-conspirators Kurt Hahn, Max Ulrich von Dreschel, Gerhard Nack, and aristocrat Heinrich von Lendorf Steinort. Now, the latter was first lieutenant in the reserve. Sadly, after his capture and execution, his wife and four children would spend the rest of the war in concentration camps. And I'm happy to report that at least one of his children is still thankfully alive to this very day and is known as being the very first German supermodel. So, I mean, that's pretty badass. That's cool. Erich Feldgeibel was also executed September 4th. He had an impressive resume when it came to his career in the military. He was an army general, a resistance fighter, and a signals specialist. He fought World War I as a captain. He moved his way up after the war as general staff officer. Then he was promoted once again, this time to major. You know, he's a climber. He moved his way on up to lieutenant colonel, then full colonel. And a few years later, he would be a major general. Now, during World War II, he would be promoted to Chief Signal Officer of Army High Command and of Supreme Command of the Armed Forces. And this would be the last title that he would be promoted to, as shortly afterwards, he would be executed. Now, with this many promotions and a lengthy military career, extensive background, it's no shocker he received many awards and medals. He would get the Iron Cross, both first and second classes, the clasp to the Iron Cross, both first and second classes, Honor Cross of the World War 1914/1918, the Ottoman War Medal, Military Merit Order 4th Class, the Military Merit Cross 3rd Class, and the Officer's Cross. None of these things would save him or would matter in the end, and he is executed September 4th, 1944. Just 4 days later, September 8th, 1944, there would be at least one execution, that of Günther Schmend, a member of the resistance and a German army officer. He is executed by hanging. One week later, on September 14th of 1944, at least three executions would take place. Michael Graf von Matuschka was a politician who was wounded during the First World War on the Eastern Front and was captured by the Russians. He was a prisoner of war and he would escape 3 years later, fleeing to Germany. He was sentenced to death and put to death the very same day. Man, I don't know about you, but that would be a good movie. Fighting in the First World War, getting hurt, caught by Russians, falls victim to prisoner of war, where he is held captive for several years. He escapes, only to be executed for trying to kill Hitler during the Second World War. I mean, I would totally watch that. Hermann Joseph Hoerl, he was a Catholic priest. He was a journalist, and he was also drafted in World War I. He may not have been a direct part of the July 20th plot, but he knew about it, and he did nothing to stop it. He is sentenced to death and executed the very same day. Nicholas Graf von Uxquell Glienband fought in the First World War, and he was a businessman. He said the reason why he was involved in the plot to assassinate Hitler was due to the extremely horrific conditions at the concentration camps. And I could only imagine reading from my grandfather's own journal entries and letters to family. It seemed that every single day at these camps was a struggle, was a challenge. The conditions, god-awful, horrific, what nightmares are made out of, crime constantly taking place, women being raped, starvation going around, families being separated, and just so much more. I mean, that's a good reason to want Hitler out of the picture, if I do say so myself. Nicholas is tried, sentenced, and he's executed the very same day. September 29th, 1944 would see at least six executions. Otto Herferth was a general during World War II, and he's hanged alongside his co-conspirators, Lieutenant Colonel Fritz von der Lancken, Joachim Mechner, who was an army officer and member of the resistance, Wilhelm Friedrich zu Leinar, who had opened his home to his fellow plotters so they could meet and plot the assassination, and Joachim Sadrozinski, who prior to his execution was given the Knight's Cross of the Iron Cross. Also executed the same day was Wilhelm Leschner, who was a trade union and a politician, and he had been against Nazism since the very beginning. October 12th, 1944 would see at least two executions. Rudolf Graf von Maragna-Redwitz was a member of the German resistance and was executed the same day he is sentenced to death. Alexis Freiherr von Rohn was a German army colonel, a senior intelligence analyst, one of Hitler's most trusted and favored officers. He secretly had grown to hate the Nazis, and he was part of the anti-Nazi persuasion. After the botched plot, even though he was not directly involved with the assassination attempt, he had several connections with many plotters, and they assumed that he was part of it, and he is hanged on a meat hook. Now, I'm kind of surprised that Hitler didn't grab his popcorn and sit there and watch him be strangled and revived several times like Stauffenberg.
This man tried to kill me, but joke's on him, as I get to sit here with my popcorn and watch him die over and over and over again.
I mean, remember, he was one of his most trusted and favored officers. On October 13th, 1944, just one day after Rudolf and Alexis are executed, there will be at least two more executions. Roland von Hoblen was a German army officer, and upon his arrest, he was stripped of the honors he had earned throughout his military career, and 1 month later, he is executed by hanging. Hans-Jürgen von Blutmantel was an army officer, an aristocrat, and he fought in the Second World War. In his last letter to home, what would be his final words haunted his family forever. Quote, "My most tender love, when these lines reach your good, lovely hands, I will no longer be in this world. I have been sentenced to death, and I'm smoking a final cigarette. Shortly, I will pass into eternity, where we will once again find each other and never again be separated. I take with me a deep gratitude for everything that you have been to me and given to me in these past years. Yesterday I dreamt that Papa was standing in the doorway with his coat and hat and said,
'Come, my boy, it is time.
Give my love to the children. It is also a difficult fate for them, and they will only begin to understand it much later. In my thoughts, I take you once more in my arms. Soon that undying part of me will be with you and the children, until you all enter into eternity and you are once again united with me, unquote. Like, I got chills reading that. I have literally goosebumps on my arms. How sad is that? Can you imagine your loved one being involved in a world war or any war for that matter? And every day you must be worried sick about them. You're praying for their safety. You're counting the days, months, years. You're counting the seconds when you'll be able to see them again. What you see in the newspapers and news, it hurts your heart. And you pray for a letter or any sign that your loved one is still alive. Then you get that letter and it's in your hands and oh my God, by golly, what do they have to say? You rip the letter open, you read it, and literally, the first line of that sentence is, when these lines reach your good, lovely hands, I will no longer be in this world. Been sentenced to death. Man, what that poor family must have felt, his wife now a widow, his children now fatherless, I can't even fathom. Just super heartbreaking for sure. November 10th of 1944 would see at least one execution. Friedrich Werner Graf von der Schlönberg was a diplomat, and he would be the last German ambassador of the Soviet Union, and he is hanged for his part in the assassination attempt. November 13th, 1944, just 3 days after Friedrich's execution, this day would see at least one execution. Ferdinand Freiherr von Lunenick was a lawyer, a military officer, and a politician. He was part of the Nazi party, but they never fully respected him, nor did they really trust him, as he was conservative and he was a Catholic. He eventually would be booted out of the Nazi party, and he meets some of the plotters, and the rest is history. His history ends after being executed via hanging. November 14th, 1944, just one day after Ferdinand is executed, there will be at least one execution when Walter Kramer is hanged for his part in the assassination attempt. November 30th, 1944, a family is executed. I'm unsure of the number. The Glodin family was not personally involved, mind you, with the failed July 20th plot, but they did allow one of the plotters to stay at their home. This sealed their fate. This was a bad move on their part, a fatal move, as the family, consisting of at least two, a man and wife, would be executed via the guillotine, and they were made to be an example. Their deaths, they were highly publicized, letting others know that even if you may not be involved directly, but try helping somebody who is involved, they will not hesitate to cut your life short. They were made examples of what not to do. Don't be like these people or you will pay the ultimate price. Basically, if you do something like this, you are sacrificing yourself. It's basically like suicide. To breathe or not to breathe, that is the ultimate question. December 20th, 1944 would see at least two executions. Caesar von Hofaker was a Luftwaffe lieutenant colonel, and he is hanged 5 days before Christmas. Karl Wenzel Tuschentl was an agricultural contractor and a farmer, and he is executed for his part. And you know, the executions, they just keep going on and on and on into the new year of 1945, as January 23rd sees at least three executions. That of Reinhold Frank, who was a lawyer and served in World War I, and Major Busso Thoma. Both of these men were hanged. Meanwhile, Eugene Bolles, who was arrested August 12th of 1944, he was sentenced to death December 21st, and he was executed via the guillotine on January 23rd, 1945. Definitely not a good way to start the year. February 2nd of 1945 would see at least three executions. Hermann Johannes Poppitz was a lawyer and a member of the German resistance, and he was also the Minister of Finance of Prussia, and he was hanged for his part. Alfred Friedrich Delp was a Jesuit priest. Now, he was not part of the plot, mind you, but he was falsely accused of being part of it. Now, while the charges were dropped, his being part of the Cachou Circle and being the type of priest that he was, they saw him as a major threat, and his existence came to a halt when they hanged the priest. Karl Friedrich Gordeler was an imposer of the Holocaust, a conservative, the mayor of Leipzig, and he was a junior officer during World War I on the Eastern Front and would move up the ranks to captain. After the Feld plot, he escapes Berlin, but was captured less than a month later. His family, upon his arrest, were separated and sent to different concentration camps, or what I like to call prisons. He may not have been physically tortured by the hands of the ferocious Gestapo, but he did suffer hugely here at Plötzensee Prison. Prisoners were treated differently here than Karl, and it was noticed. The food he was given was not edible. Fellow prisoners recall hearing him at night just groaning as he was painfully being starved. Not like the inmates really sympathized with him. He was a hated man here in Plötzensee. He was known as a snitch, as he would give the names of hundreds upon hundreds of plotters, sealing their fates. Karl's heart was truly troubled. He wrote a letter to one of his friends in America, and you could just hear his disappointment and sadness when it came to his homeland of Germany and what was taking place there. Quote, "The German people did not want war. The army would have done anything to avoid it. The world had been warned and informed in good time. If the warning had been heeded and acted upon, Germany would, by now, be free of its dictator and turning against Mussolini. Within a few weeks, we could have begun to build lasting world peace on the basis of justice, reason, and decency. A purified Germany, with a government of decent people, would have been ready to solve the Spanish problem without delay and company with Britain and France to remove Mussolini, and with the United States to create peace in the Far East. The way would have been open for sound cooperation and economic and social fields for the creation of peaceful relations between capital, labor, and the state. For the raising of ethical is the general standard of living. You can hardly conceive the despair that both people in the army feel about the brutal, insane, and terroristic dictator and his henchmen," unquote. Less than a month before his execution, a friend of his, a professor who was also doing time at the prison, shares a terrifying report on how his friend was doing. Quote, "I was astonished at his undiminished intellectual power, but at the same time I was shocked by his outward appearance. It was a man growing old who stood before me, shackled hand and foot, and the same light summer clothes as had on when captured, shabby and colorless, face thin and drawn, strangely different. But it was his eyes that shocked me the most. They were once bright gray eyes and had flashed beneath the heavy eyebrows that had always been the most impressive thing about him. Now there was no light in them. They were like the eyes of a blind man, yet like nothing I had seen before. His intellectual power was at it had always been. His spiritual strength was not. His natural cheerfulness had gone. His look seemed turned inward. What I beheld was a man with the weariness of death in his soul," unquote. His brother, also a mayor, was executed 1 month later. March 1st, 1945 would see at least one execution, Karl's brother, Fritz Gordeler, mayor of Kwidzyn. He was also a journalist and a resistance fighter, and the younger brother of Karl Friedrich. March 5th, 1945 would see at least one execution, 4 days after the mayor. And this one would be from Hasso von Bommer, a German lieutenant colonel, he is sentenced and put to death the very same day. April 9, 1945 would see at least one execution, Ewald von Kleist Schermansen. He was a lawyer and he would be executed for his part of the July 20th attempt just 1 month before the Second World War would come to an end. So again, this is just a fraction of the executions that took place due to the failed plot of July 20th. There would be at least 9 firing squad executions, 5 guillotine executions, 81 hanging executions, 1 extrajudicially shot execution, 1 would die being tortured to death in custody before the execution, and 3 forced suicides. And again, the numbers, they're much, much higher. This is just what I was able to find. Amazingly enough, there were people involved in this failed assassination that lived to see another day. I found at least 27 survivors. This would include colonels, lieutenant colonels, majors, generals, minister of defense, diplomats, priests, minister of finance, lawyers, lieutenants, and others. Now, while some would die shortly afterwards, like at least one person died in 1949, some got to live a joyful life, I imagine, or I hope at least, for the next several decades, like a major who died in 2002, a priest in 2003, another major in 2004, and the very last surviving member, Ewald Heinrich von Kleist Schmensen, died at the age of 90 years old, March 8th of 2013. Ewald was the youngest member involved in the July 20th plot. He was only 22 years old when this happened. His father is among the executed. Instead of execution, most likely due to his age, he was sent to a concentration camp that was mostly used for women. He then was sent to fight in the war, and he lived to see a new century. Suicide was talked about today. If you or someone you know has suicidal thoughts, please know you are not alone. Please reach out. You could call 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to fret. You could hit up any of those podcast platforms such as Blueberry, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, and
I will see you next week. Thank you.